This is Voices of Our World, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. The marriage broker system and the direct order bride industry specifically allow many to profit at the expense of a poor woman. We'll continue our discussion with Mary Knoll sister Zhang Nguyen, who worked with Vietnamese brides in Taiwan. As we continue our discussion about Vietnamese mail order brides in Taiwan, it is easy to interchange country names with others and apply these situations to almost anywhere in the world. In the United States, some of the laws that were created to prevent foreign bride abuse spurred changes in marketing techniques. For example, laws requiring that brides and grooms meet each other before marrying have necessitated holding houses and the use of banquet halls to allow men to pick from hundreds of so-called specimens. More cooperation is needed on an international level. Care needs to be taken as international trade agreements are signed to ensure that women are not considered commodities. Trafficking women and children is on the rise. Economic desperation facilitates it. Eleanor Ostrinsky speaks with Mary Knoll sister Zhang Nguyen about how economic necessities, politics, culture, and tradition affect human rights, equality, and liberation.
You said earlier that you were walking around in vegetable markets and you could ascertain that somebody was Vietnamese by their accent. Tell me about the first time you made a connection with a Vietnamese woman.
Well, the first time I met a Vietnamese woman in the market, I felt happy because, you know, to see another Vietnamese in Taiwan. So that was my first reaction. It wasn't until later when they were able to open up and share their story that I felt like that I was trying to swim upstream, just because the discrimination is really another huge factor that the women face. Ethnic discrimination, or really what I should say is racism.
Because they're Vietnamese and they're in
Taiwan. And the general discrimination is, oh, you're from a backward country. Your country is poor, so that's why you're here. You're gold diggers. You got what you deserve. You chose to come here. And combined with that, the systematic discrimination, like the police officer not willing to help, the laws that aren't willing to provide basic human rights protection for these women.
And serve to further isolate the women.
Absolutely.
And yeah. Continue the cycle of abuse.
That's right.
Can you give me an example of somebody that you met that this happened to?
She called me up one day and she said, my husband is beating me. So I said, why don't we meet somewhere and then I will take you to the police station. When we got to the police station, and this is common, I said, I would like to file a report of domestic abuse. And the policeman immediately started yelling, why do you want to file a report? What did you do? You don't understand our custom. That's why so-and-so beat you up. If you just obey, then this won't happen. And he was belligerent. And with me there, didn't hear, even try to listen to what had happened to her. Imagine with just the woman by herself going to a police station, frightened, don't know the law, don't know the language that well, trying to defend herself and meeting up with this kind of resistance. But in this particular case, I stood there and argued with the police and had to get other groups involved. And he finally relented and filed the report. And then she was put into a shelter. Well, she was there, I think, only for one night, and she felt scared because it was a strange environment and her child was sick. And she said, okay, I need to take care of my child. So she decided to go back to her husband. And the next time I heard news was from one of the women who had first introduced her to me. She told me that she had been beaten so severely that her sister, who was also married to a Taiwanese, came and took her away and they went back to Vietnam.
So it was a matter of life and death for them to decide to go back.
A lot of them hesitate to go back, like this friend of mine right now who was abused. She said, I don't want my family to know. And that happens over and over and over again. I know from my work in Taiwan, talking to the Vietnamese women, they carry some kind of shame in the first place from Vietnam that your family is so poor that you have to marry a foreigner, you know. And so they leave and marry and hoping that they'll have some kind of a marriage. And then now to go back and bring shame to their family.
Because now they're divorced.
Now they're divorced. They might have kids. Failure of a marriage. See, now look what happened. And so for a lot of the women, they don't want to go back. And they say if they go back, they would not go back to their village.
You said the law in the United States has changed.
Oh, yes. In 1996, the law changed so that abused women can start the proceeding on their own towards naturalization.
And what's it like in Taiwan?
The law is such that if the man divorces you, immediate deportation. And the husband know that the local police won't help them, so they just get angrier when the women dare to run out and get help. And it's just more abuse.
Tell me another story of a woman who was being controlled by her husband.
Oh, so many stories. Okay. There's another case of a woman who her husband tactic was not physical abuse where it would show, where he would get in trouble. He would tear her clothes off to shame her and take all her clothes away and call in the neighborhood men to look at her if she didn't do what he wanted her to do. She finally decided to leave.
So it sounds like you listen to these stories mm-hmm. over and over in all their variations of mm-hmm. horror. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that kind of, you know, what do you dream about at night?
That's a good question because I've been back here in the States and away from the situation for about a year. And so when you asked me to come over here for this interview, I went back through my files and I reread all of them. And then at around 11:30, there was just this sick feeling in my stomach. And I said, I can't believe it. All the feelings are coming back. And I didn't expect the strength of it. And I said, I have to get out. I have to walk in the woods. And so I did. I went out and I walked in the woods and sat in the sunshine, listened to the birds and absorbed all the good energy of the woods. And that's how I cope.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I think this is an important enough issue. I'm only suffering a tiny, teeny little bit in comparison to these women. And like I said, I can't stress enough that this is happening all over the world, not just in Taiwan.
When we first contacted you, I went on the web and mm-hmm. there's just hundreds of sites mm-hmm. for men to order brides.
Yes.
Can you explain how the web has really, truly changed this business?
It has made it a globalized market. I mean, you can get a wife from anywhere in the world for as much as you want to pay. And the reason why it is such a lucrative business is because there is no regulation. In the U.S., there is a bill pending to regulate the international marriage brokerage system. You know, people's ideas that, well, you're free to marry whomever you want to marry and doesn't matter how you come about it, if you buy somebody or anything. It's just an agreement between two people and a marriage certificate, and then you can get into anywhere. And this is also how organized crime get women and traffic them, you know, because there have been cases in Taiwan, too, of women getting to Taiwan via the marriage route. But when they get to Taiwan, then they're either sold into a brothel or their personal pimp takes them from place to place, from house to house, and prostitutes them out. So this international marriage broker system has made it easier for organized crime to do their business. And even if they were not officially a part of the organized crime network, the people who are involved in this business, I would have to say they have no heart because the bottom line is the dollar. And when they can make so much money,
Then they don't have to worry about
anything
else.
They don't have to worry about anything else. And it's all legal and above board because right now there are no regulations. And many countries don't have any laws to protect the rights of these migrant brides. So when they get to the country, the husband have complete control over them. As far as whether they'll stay or go, they have very little rights because they're not a citizen of that country.
That's exactly it. I mean, first of all, people don't know that they are around.
That's right.
Number one.
They're invisible, yeah.
And then after that, you have politicians who deal with their constituency. If you don't have voting rights, you have a say.
That's right.
Why would a politician even consider you?
It's wonderful for men who are looking for women that they can control and command to do whatever they want to do.
Do some of these men force their wives to have sexual relations with others?
Oh, yes. They would get married and then the women would be passed to their uncles, their brothers, their father.
And then what do they do?
There was this one time when I went to visit the detention center and I met these young girls, 14, and their passport said they were from Cambodia. The story that they told me is that they were promised jobs in Taiwan, but first you have to go through Cambodia. So when they got to Cambodia, their documents were done to show that they had Cambodian passport.
But they were Vietnamese.
They were Vietnamese. Then they were transferred to Taiwan and they were put into a brothel. And when the police broke up this one brothel, they were then sent into the detention center. And then the tragedy is the Taiwanese government have no choice but to send them back to Cambodia. They're holding the passport from Cambodia. So these young girls have been trafficked into Cambodia, and even though the authorities caught them, they'll be sent right back into the brothels in Cambodia, and they would not have a chance to make it back to Vietnam. And those situations are tough because you don't have any, you can't prove it.
What should people in the United States do?
Right now, that bill that's pending to regulate the international marriage brokerage system, get it passed. Then maybe that will have a domino effect.
So thank you so much for coming and speaking with us about this issue.
Well, you're very welcome.
What laws should be enacted to protect the lives of mail order and direct order brides? Email us. Go to www.maryknoll.org/voices. Just click on Contact Us. Or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Zhang Nguyen is just one of the voices of our world. This week's show was produced by Eleanor Ostrinsky, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. To suggest a topic or for more information on today's guest, please go to our program's website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. To get Mary Knoll Magazine, please call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. If you missed a portion of this program, you can catch us on our website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.